This morning we had our election of elders, and in God's providence we have two men who have been elected by the congregation to serve as elders. And as I was setting out what I would be preaching on throughout this series, and on the morning of and the evening of the election, I wanted this evening to be preaching from a passage that would be an encouragement for the men chosen to serve, but also an encouragement for each of us as we are called to serve Jesus Christ. This morning was a challenge. We are challenged to be partners in the work of the gospel. Each of us is to be fellowshipping in the gospel. That's the challenge. And now this evening, the encouragement. It's encouragement for reluctant servants. We're turning to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. Because with Jeremiah, we have a reluctant servant, but he is being given encouragement by God. Now, there are many reluctant servants in the Bible. Moses said, "I'm slow of speech." He wasn't keen to go to Egypt and lead God's people out of slavery. He was reluctant, as was Gideon, the book of Judges. When the angel appeared to Gideon, Gideon hid. Gideon said, "But I'm the least in my family. I'm not very important. Surely you don't mean me." Jonah, he was a reluctant servant. His reluctance wasn't, "I'm slow of speech," or "surely you don't mean me." His reluctance was, "You don't mean them. Anyone but them, Lord. Let me serve anywhere but there in Nineveh." Esther, she was very much a not me person until her cousin Mordecai had to tell her that God had her in this position for such a time as this. There are many examples of reluctant servants. We have it through church history as well. Did you know that John Knox, the mighty John Knox, the reformer of Scotland, when he was first called to preach, he started shaking, ran away, locked himself in a room and cried. That mighty man. He didn't want to do it until the congregation persuaded him. This is a call from God. This is confirmed by us, the congregation. Reluctant servants. But tonight we're considering Jeremiah, the prophet of God. And Jeremiah has been called by God to bring a difficult message to hard-hearted people. Jeremiah's ministry was going to be one of hardship. Look at verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 1. God says to him, "See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Most of Jeremiah's ministry was going to be one of speaking God's judgment. Most of his ministry was going to be one of hard, difficult words. And yet, called by God to serve. I should say that this sermon is not a guilt trip to the elders elect into taking up the office of elder. That's not the purpose of preaching on this. But it's here to encourage. It's here to encourage us all in our serving, especially when we feel so reluctant to serve. And so tonight we have these words from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. Encouraging words for reluctant servants. And I want us to note, first of all, God's call to serve. God's call to serve. Look at the call of Jeremiah in verses 4 and 5. The word of the Lord came to him and said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." God is telling Jeremiah, I have a plan for you, even before you were born, even before you were formed in the womb. God says, I have a plan and a purpose for you. Even before the foundations of the earth were set, God knew what he would have Jeremiah do. God had an area of service that Jeremiah would fulfill. God has a task for Jeremiah to be involved in. God has a plan and a purpose. And then we are told that God formed Jeremiah for that very task. God created Jeremiah. I formed you in the womb. Jeremiah's DNA, although it was inherited from his mother and his father, it was planned out by God. Jeremiah's character and education, although it was received and shaped by his circumstances and background growing up in the priestly family, it was put in place by God. God had set Jeremiah apart with his gifts, his abilities, his character, his nature, his whole being and personality, his circumstances and background. Everything was shaped and planned by God so that Jeremiah could serve God. Jeremiah was perhaps not your typical Old Testament prophet. If we read through the book of Jeremiah, we'll find him to be a sensitive man, a man who loved learning and books. He was a gentle man. He was a relatively quiet man. He wasn't an Elijah. He wasn't a man dressed in camel skin who bursts on the scene and stands before Ahab and tells Ahab what God is going to do. This wasn't an Elijah. This was gentle, meek, sensitive Jeremiah. And yet, this is exactly how God had formed him for the task that he was calling him to. Later on in Jeremiah chapter 18, Jeremiah is taken to the potter's house. And God asks him what he sees. And Jeremiah says that he sees the potter. And God says, that is what I am doing. I am the potter. And I work with the clay. And I shape the clay and mold the clay. And it's up to the potter if he wants to destroy and pluck up and remove. It's interesting that throughout Jeremiah, we have the words of verse 10, pluck up, break down, destroy, overthrow. These are words that are repeated, and we have it in the potter's house. God is saying, I am the potter. I shape things and mold things as I will have them be. It's an image that Paul picks up in Romans chapter 9. Paul is saying that the potter has every right over the clay to make out of the same lump something for honorable use and something for dishonorable use. God is the potter, and God shapes and molds us as he sees fit. He makes the clay into what God will use the clay for. And for Jeremiah, he has been formed. He has been created for the purpose of serving God in the way that God is going to call him to serve. Jeremiah, I am calling you because I have shaped you. I have formed you. There is a task that I have for you to do because I have shaped you as the potter shapes the clay. This is the service that I have for you. And friends, the same is true for us. We've each been called to serve. We've all been called to partner in the work of the gospel. Yet we're different. Different gifts, different abilities, different temperaments and backgrounds. But we each can say that the potter has formed me. And he has formed me for the tasks that he calls me to do. God says to us, I knew you. I formed you. I consecrated you. I appointed you. As we voted for elders, and as two men, through God's overruling providence, have received the required percentage, we can say to these men that God has known them and formed them and consecrated them and appointed them. All this for the task that he's called them to do. Jeremiah was concerned about his youth. He was concerned about his ability to speak, his temperament, and especially because what he was bringing was such a hard and difficult message. But God says, I have formed that. I have made you this way so that you can fulfill the plans and the purposes that I have for you. And we're all called to serve Christ. We're called to serve Christ by living out our Christian lives in front of others. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Jesus said, I have chosen and appointed you, like Jeremiah. And your purpose is to go and serve. I have chosen you, the way you've been formed and created, your temperament, personality, your background, all of that goes together. And I call you to the task of living for me, bearing fruit for me. We might be tempted to say, well, I'm not like so-and-so. I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, perhaps you don't have to. Because God has made you as you are. God calls you as you are for the tasks that he will have you do. He chose you in Jesus Christ, called you in Jesus Christ. So live and serve where God has you. Speak of Christ where you live. Live for Christ where God has you placed. Maybe that call will change. Maybe that call will be to take on more responsibility or a specific area of service. But until then, know that God has formed you in a certain way because he calls you to live for Christ where he has you. So be encouraged to serve. He has formed you as he calls you to serve. God's call to serving. But then secondly, we have God's presence in serving. God's presence in serving. Knowing that he's called us doesn't make Jeremiah a willing servant all of a sudden. He doesn't go, oh, that's great. I'm glad you've called me, God. That makes it so much easier. That's not where Jeremiah is at. He has doubts. He has concerns. And he has excuses. Look at verse 6. Ah, Lord God, that this is a cry of anguish and despair. It's a deep-seated cry. It's a feeling from the heart, a heart-sinking moment for Jeremiah. You have called me to this. Jeremiah's excuses are his lack of ability to speak and his age, his youthfulness. Much like Timothy in the New Testament, Paul tells Timothy to not let others look down on him because of his age. Youth doesn't necessarily mean spiritual immaturity. Sometimes our young people show a greater spiritual maturity than what we possess. God says to Jeremiah, do not say, I am only a youth. And then God gives the encouragement. Look at verse 7. For to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. I am with you. Can there be any more encouraging words in Scripture? To know that God Himself is with us as we go to serve, as we go to live for Christ, God is with us. Isn't this the encouragement that the disciples needed when Jesus ascended into heaven? The task that they were given was huge. Go and make disciples of all nations. And what did they need to hear after being given this call, this task? They needed to hear Jesus say, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you. I am with you." His presence with us. In Jeremiah's day, it would have been common for a king to send an ambassador to go and deliver his messages to the people or to another nation. And that was okay if the message was a nice message. I'm going to be lifting the tax off those people. Could you go and tell them that? That's a nice message. An ambassador could happily go along, confidently go along and go to those people and say, "It's okay, the king is lifting his tax, or he's giving us a public holiday." Nobody would mind being an ambassador or serving the king in those circumstances. But if you were bringing a hard message, an unpopular message, then being an ambassador was no fun. The king would send you along, and you had to go and bring this message to these people. Jeremiah had a hard message. The kingdom would be plucked up and broken down. The kingdom would be destroyed and overthrown. To be an ambassador with a message like that wasn't going to be easy. But then the king who is sending him says to Jeremiah, "By the way, I'm going to be with you as you bring this message. I'm going to be standing with you. I'm going to be going before you. And I will protect you and keep you. I will uphold you." What an encouragement. That makes all the difference. The king himself with us. His presence with us. Part of the task of the eldership will be hard and unpopular at times. Even as a church, as we serve Christ, our task at times will be hard and unpopular. We're going to a world that is immoral. People are spiritually blind. They hate the truth. And we are coming to them with a message that tells them that outside of Jesus Christ, they are under God's wrath and judgment. That's part of the message of the gospel. And it's not popular. And it's not easy. But we're not alone. We're not alone as a church. We're not alone as elders as we go about our task. The King himself has said to us, "Behold, I am with you. I stand beside you. I go before you. I protect you and keep you." How encouraging. His presence with us. For those men who've been called to the eldership, as you face that call with apprehension and perhaps doubt, remind yourself, he says, "I am with you." As a congregation, as we serve Christ, as you live for Christ in the place where God has called you, and the people he's called you to be. What an encouragement. Jesus says to you, I am with you. The King himself goes before and is beside us. The encouragement for the reluctant servant is that his presence is with us as we serve. It's encouraging to know that he calls us as we are. He's formed us for a plan and a purpose to serve. He knows us. He's created us as we are to serve. And that's a wonderful encouragement. And then he tells us that he even goes with us. I am with you. His presence with us. And then the third encouragement that we have from this passage this evening is God's equipping for serving. God's equipping for serving. Look at verse 9. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. It's a wonderful thing to know that someone is with us when we go to do something. It's also wonderful to know that we have been equipped for what we are going to be doing. That we've been provided with everything that we need to serve in the way that we've been called. Many of us, when we're asked to do something, we probably automatically feel or say, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that. Who's sufficient for such a thing? Or maybe we think to ourselves, well, I could easily think of 4 or 5 people who'd be much better at doing that than I am. That's probably the response that most of us, when we're called to do something, give, especially probably when it's something within the church. We look at our gifts and our abilities. We're all too aware of our weaknesses in certain areas. But here we see for Jeremiah that God equips him. He's not only called him to serve. He not only says, I'm going to be with you. But God actually then gives Jeremiah exactly what he needs to go and serve. God gives Jeremiah the words that he will need. There's no excuse for Jeremiah. God's gifting, God's grace to him is, I have put my words in your mouth. As we are called to serve Christ, as we're called to live for Jesus Christ in the places where God has us, as we are all called to speak of Jesus Christ, perhaps we think, well, I can't do that. I'm not capable of that. I don't think I could live that way. I don't think I could speak clearly enough. Well, that's not true. Because God says, I have given you of my spirit, that you might walk in my ways. My grace is sufficient for you, that you might go and bear fruit. God has promised us that he equips us to live for Christ day by day. And we have his word. We have his truth. We have the very words that we can say to others. We can share with them the gospel because it's here before us and we know it. Now, at times that takes work. It does take study. It takes patience. It takes prayer. But God has given us what we need to serve. And this is true for other areas of serving. If Session comes up to you and gives you a task or asks you to take on a role, if you're being asked to serve in a particular way, and then you feel you just can't do it because you're not good enough or whatever, remember, God equips those that he calls to serve. Now, we don't all have the same gifts. If you have no gifts in teaching children, and you hate teaching children, Don't worry, Session won't ask you to take a Sabbath school class. But perhaps you might be asked to, could you go and draw alongside that person? Could you help with this catering today? Could you go and do that? There are practical things, the spiritual things. There's lots of different ways that we could be serving and encouraging and praying for one another. If Session calls you to fellowship together, we're told that God equips us for these things. To help organize something, to show kindness, to encourage, to be an extra pair of hands. When Session asks for help at the sound desk, and you think, oh, I don't think I have any technical knowledge. Well, David's just said that even a Luddite like him can do it. We're equipped, even those simple tasks, those little tasks. God equips us. God helps us. And especially in that call to serve Christ in our day-to-day living, in our sharing Christ with others, God helps us to do that and equips us for the task. He gives us the strength. His grace is sufficient for us. He gives us the gifts that we need. For the elders called to serve, perhaps they're thinking this way, I can't do this, I'm not equipped. God says, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. His grace is sufficient for you. And so we're to look to him for the equipping. We're to look to his word and his grace. Jeremiah, in many ways, was an unlikely candidate for this ministry, this task. He was certainly reluctant. He didn't fit the mold. But God says, Jeremiah, I've called you. I formed you for this. I created you for this. I've made you the way you are because I have a task for you that I've planned and prepared. And Jeremiah, I'm with you in this task, in this serving. My very presence goes before you. And I've equipped you. I've given you everything you need to serve. Here is an encouragement for reluctant servants. Here, I hope, is an encouragement for each of us as we seek to serve Christ and live for Christ within our congregation, within your places of work, in your homes, as parents, as children, whatever that may be. And through all of this, might we be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who, when called to the ultimate task of giving himself, although willing, still knew that the task was hard and difficult. And yet for us, he could say, not my will, but yours be done. And so may we, because he has served us so wonderfully, seek to give of ourselves in serving him, following the call that God has given to us, knowing that he's with us, and knowing that he provides and equips everything we need. Amen.